very happy Saturday morning, everybody. Saturday, January 7, 2023. It is the Saturday edition of Tom Drake's Daily Cruising Travelers Podcast, brought to you by the Snood Factory, www.thesnoodfactory.com. Tom Drake here. Who else would it be? On board the beautiful Oceana Serena on our way to Port Antonio, Jamaica. We are at sea today. I am on the beautiful Oceana Serena. I really can't plug the word beautiful in front of Port Antonio, Jamaica. It is another new destination as we constantly search for some place new for the bored Americans who have been everybody. Port Antonio, I'm not going to kid anybody, could use a little work. Jamaica in general has its own share of problems. One day the tourism minister will brag about how many people are coming to the island, and the next day the president of the island will declare a state of emergency because the crime is out of control. It's another one of those islands that you have to be careful. But, you know, it's the Caribbean. We haven't been there. We'll go there, and then we'll complain that it's not that good, and that's pretty much how you describe Port Antonio. Before I get to what's happening in the cruise and travel industry, I want to explain, I sound a little tired. You know, my regular job is I am a stand-up comedian on cruise ships, in particular, on Serena, and I only do two shows during the 12-day cruise, and the rest of the time I spend it having dinner with guests and drinks with guests and dinner and drinks and drinks and dinner and dinner. You know, in the military or in law enforcement, your years in service, they give you hash marks, you know. I'm almost 30 years in the cruise industry, so I should have 6 hash marks. I do, but the hash marks are on my liver. They're on my liver. Hello, folks. So last night I was out for dinner, and it was a very special dinner because I had guests come on board, and it was a high school reunion. This gentleman, Nick, I had not seen in 52 years, and Nick and his wife, Rhonda, were in Aruba on vacation, and I saw that on Facebook. I invited them on. We had a great dinner with my wife, Dottie. It was just a great night, and guess what? Now they're going to book an Oceanic cruise. It wasn't my intention, but it doesn't hurt, right? They came on. They had food and Tuscan steak. They fell in love with it, and now they're going to book probably a 14-day with us later on in the year, but that's not why I did it. I did it for a reunion. Pretty cool. 52 years. Since we've seen each other, we had a great night, and then they left. They had to get off because we sailed, and I went to the show, and after the show I went upstairs and to see the live band, and I had drinks with a nice couple from Ottawa. We talked about his quadruple bypass. I talked about how I beat cancer, and you know, that's what you do on a ship with this age group. You talk about how many pills you're taking. So I'm a little dragging this morning, but this is a 6-day-a-week podcast, so we're gonna do it. Also, I mentioned yesterday, and I will continue to mention, we're switching this. You really don't pay much attention to where it is. It's on Podbean now. It's a podcast platform, but it's going to move to the podcast playground, and when it does, you'll hear a commercial in the middle of the podcast. That's the purpose of the move, and the more people download it, listen, the better chance I have of making $6, $8, $10. This particular platform does extremely well with a very wide distribution, so I'm hopeful. Plus, yesterday I had a very nice phone conversation. You know, there's an expression in New Jersey, hey, I know a guy who knows a guy. Well, I know a guy named Steve, right, who knows a guy named Albert. Albert happens to own a couple of diamond stores in the Caribbean and Alaska, about 107 of them. You know who I'm talking about. And Albert and I had a wonderful conversation about sponsorship of the podcast and talking more about what they do and all their stores do. And while I'm talking about, you know, cruising or whatever, and I'm very excited about that, I wear his jewelry. My wife wears a lot of his jewelry. So that's pretty cool. That's coming up. I can't say much more about that. We're working it out. But thanks to my buddy Steve about that. Steve, I knew Steve. Steve knew this guy. You know, whatever. It's a Jersey thing. All right, let's get out. Let's go. Let's go, Tom. We don't have all day. It's Saturday. These people have something to do. I don't know what the... All right, that's the sound of the authorities in New Zealand when they find out that you have two worms on your hull. Two worms on your hull. You know what I'm talking about. This whole bio... Well, hold on.
You're a moron!
That's for me. I am a moron. I get this thing all, as we say in Jersey, as backwards. It looks like New Zealand is the one that's breaking everybody's chops about biofouling. Australia has the same rules, but so far I don't think anybody's been caught in the net. They've been caught in the Kiwi net for violating their biofoul standards. And there's actually a biofoul guy down there. He is the head of biosecurity New Zealand Environmental Health. His name is Paul Hallett. And Norwegian Seven Seas Explorer got caught in the biofoul net. And they're not being allowed to enter New Zealand. It's messing up everybody's crews down there. And they had somebody come out and start cleaning the hull, but it wasn't the right company. This sounds like in Jersey, we got to hire somebody's cousin to get something done. Or you got to know this guy to get approval for a toilet in your house. I don't know. Feels rigged to me, and I'm probably making that up. But anyway, this is what Paul said. And I want to make sure I quote him exactly right. This is what happened to the Regent Seven Seas Explorer, according to Paul Hallett. It didn't meet our biofouling standards because of higher than allowed levels of algae, barnacles, tube worms, and potential oysters present. So there's some crap on the hull, and that flipped them out. This is what they're saying. They're saying that every pest and insect that they have in New Zealand, they think was brought to the island by ships, cruise ships, containers, freighters. Say they decided process of elimination. They couldn't have come in any other way. They must have come in on the hull of a ship. So they have all these new rules, and they are breaking some, you know, some tube worms because they can't get in. So, and the Explorer hired a company. It wasn't the right company. They hired another company. What? So now every cruise line, every container ship, every freighter, before they go into New Zealand, they must stop 12 miles off the coast to make sure they're not going to fail, because they're going to start finding them, heavily find them. I have an idea. This is what I like to do. I like to get me a few tube worms, and I would raise them and train them to race, train them to swim like 15 miles in a heartbeat, and then just get a ship off the coast of New Zealand and let them loose and name them, you know, Harry, Joey. Come on, Joey. You can make the beach, baby. Get in there. This is crazy. You know, anybody that knows me knows that I'm not a big fan of New Zealand. I think it's a beautiful country. But of places to visit, it's the bottom of the bottom, right down there with the South Pacific, because there's nothing there. Adelaide, yeah, there's cities, so what? Adelaide to me is like Baltimore without the riots, right? And the countryside is beautiful, but to me it's Chester, New Jersey with sheep. That's it. That's just me. In fact, you know, I wouldn't do any bad jokes. I do my act, but I'm not doing them. But I will tell you, the last time I was down there, I'm in the laundry on a princess ship, and a couple comes in, and he's Australian and she's a Kiwi, and he says, "Hey mate, you know how they count sheep in New Zealand?" And I said, "I don't know how." He goes, 1, 2, 3. Oh, hello. Lovely night last night. 5, 6. The wife was not happy.
All right, you're a moron.
She's right. I'm a moron. Let's move on. This is the Saturday, you gotta be kidding me, edition. I don't understand this, and I understand it even less, but they announced, press release, that there's a very good chance that the Chinese cruise industry will reopen. So what? You know, who wants to go to mainland China right now? They got COVID cases like everywhere. But there is a new company called the CSSC, Carnival China Cruise Shipping Company. I've talked about them in the past. Carnival Corporation has partnered up with a Chinese company. It's the Chinese government. And they're going to have their own cruise lines. Why don't you go play golf with Putin while you're at it? I don't get this. But they announced that they've hired salespeople now. They're going to begin selling it and getting it ready. They have two ships from Costa. They're using those. They have a CEO now. Of course, he's Chinese. I mean, you're not sending down Lou Hirschberg to be the CEO of the CSSC Carnival. He's a Chinese guy. His name is Chen Rengfeng, and I didn't do it that way to make it sound xenophobic. His name is Chen Rengfeng. Chen Rengfeng. Anyway, he said in a statement, "I've hired people. They are senior cruise people who have been deeply involved in the industry for many years, and they've been so good. We've actually let them out of prison because they've been there for political." No, I made that part up. So who knows? If anybody's interested in China, it's going to open up. If I mention China in this podcast, you know it's never going to be like, "I can't wait." Thank you. Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings has announced a new division of NCL Holdings. It will be called Experiences at Sea. Experiences at Sea, as opposed to Virgin Voyages, which has adult experiences at sea. Tell you more about that later. Here's what happened. There's a company called Sixth Man, like the number sixth, Sixth Man at Sea. This was, again, years back by a guy who had an idea about bringing concerts onto ships. Very successful. A lot of famous people have been on a Norwegian ship. They chartered the whole ship. For instance, John Bon Jovi. John Bon Jovi sang on the pool deck of an NCL ship. I mean, that's pretty cool. He wasn't there long. You know, a lot of the entertainers, they have, like Joe Bonamassa has a big Blues at Sea charter. It's full of great acts, and they're there the whole time. You get to meet them. It's an experience at sea. It was never called that. But, you know, in every cruise line, and I'm not just singling out NCL, there are people in the office, and all they do is they sit all day with a cup of coffee going, I need to come up with a good idea. I got to come up with a good idea. If I want to get promoted, I have to come up with a good idea. What can I do? So somebody had this good idea of changing the name. It used to be just Six Man Festivals, and now it's called Experiences at Sea, and they're combining it with their other division that does charters and incentives. If you're not familiar with this part of the business, C&I, very big in the early days of cruising, because you would either charter the whole ship or a big portion of the ship to a major company, and that major company would give away the cruises as rewards for their salespeople or for their customers, and that would bring people to the cruise line that might not sail on the cruise line, might not have ever been on a cruise, and suddenly they come on board on someone else's nickel, and they fall in love with the cruise line, and they fall in love with the idea of cruising, and they become a customer. So charter incentive was very big. Well, now they're calling it charters, meetings, and incentives, because the same person that had to come up with a good idea, he said, I got an idea. Instead of just calling it a charters and incentives, let's put meeting in the middle. Charters, meetings, and incentives. Why does this matter? It's really cool. If you like music, country music, pop music, rock and roll, hard rock, heavy metal. They do wrestling cruises. They do everything you can imagine, and they're expanding it. We'll have 160 different charters and ideas that you can do. Check it out on the NCL site. I'm sure you can Google Experiences at Sea, and you'll see it. It's going to be really good. I've talked about this in the past. I want to work out. They have a comedy one. I never get invited. I don't know why. I'm pretty funny. I get a little mad about this. All right. Here's another. It's Saturday. Are you kidding me? Who cares and why anyway? It was announced yesterday that the first cruise ship in 15 years has returned to Venezuela. Why? Anybody want to go to Venezuela? Listen, I have no problem with Venezuela. They have a problem with Venezuela. Where do you want to start? You know, revolutions and poverty and the dictatorship and the whole nine yards. Oh, we haven't been there before. Let's go ahead and do it. It's a company called Phoenix Rising. Never heard of the company. It's a German company. And a ship called the Amadea. The Amadea arrived in Isla Marita Margarita. And there is a tourism minister. He's in charge of tourism and torture. And his name is Ali Padron. And he was there and welcomed the captain and the cruise director, Manuel Noriega. No, Manuela Bazadega. And it was 500 guests from Germany, Spain, France, all Europeans. Americans are crazy, but even we're not crazy enough to go, hey, we'll go to Venezuela. Anyway, it's on a 23-day voyage that's like a mini around-the-world thing. The Amadea, they say it may open the door for other cruise lines to return. Please, no. Please, we go to enough places. No, thank you. Hey, here's a good story about New Zealand, all right? Stop picking on New Zealand, Tommy. Just cut it out. Yesterday, the port of Napier in New Zealand, I've been there, very nice, they set a record. They had three cruise ships in New Zealand at the same time, and all of them didn't have any tube worms or potential oysters. The Viking Mars, the Silver Muse, and the Star Breeze, they were all in port at the same time. But the total amount of guests, 1,700. Something, come on, this is with a small ship. But they were there. That's a beautiful part of New Zealand. I realize, you know, they have great wine in New Zealand. The Hawks, I think it's Hawks Bay winery down there. Really nice wines. Very nice golf course. I played golf down there. It's different playing golf down there. They don't care what they score. They just want to play really fast. They actually judge how good a day it was on how little time they spent playing golf. We're playing golf in New Zealand, and every time we look behind us, there were women on the tee waiting for us to get finished. It was really frustrating. Finally, we're at a par three. We finished, and I said to the guys, I'm going to stay here. I got to see what the hell's going on. Four women, they all put it within 6 foot of the cup. I mean, they were all very good golfers. And there's no golf cart down there. There's no golf cart person. There's no drinks while you're playing. This is barbaric. And you have to drag your bag in one of those little trolleys. And we're running around playing 18 holes. We played 18 holes in 4 hours and 10 minutes. We were warned 3 times for slow play. I got back to the clubhouse and I said to the manager, "What's with the rush in us?" He said, "Mate, it's all about how fast they play. The record here for 18 is like 3 hours and 6 minutes. Relax, take it easy." I guess they were in a hurry to get back to the sheep. Virgin Voyages, don't say cruise line. They're not a cruise line. No, and a Viking's not a cruise line. It's Viking Ocean Voyages and Virgin Voyages. They have a new video. I just watched it. It's incredibly well done to promote their cruise line. The video ought to be called, "If You're Over 55, Go to Hell." There's not one person. It's a 3.5-minute video, like a music video, done to the song Karma Chameleon. You should Google it. It's really incredibly well done. It had to cost them $10 million for this 3.5-minute video. And, of course, it ends with Richard Branson saying, you know, "Let's do it again." But everybody was under the age of 30. It's really, they have an adults-only cruise. So, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, but not really our age adults. They want people in the 30s and 40s. I saw one guy look like he was over the age of 50. He was probably wearing makeup. So anyway, they're big on, if you're young, we love you. If you don't, if you're not, I wouldn't go there. I love telling people, the people when I have dinner every night, they can't believe it when I tell them they have a sex kit on Virgin. And they all want to go. I'm stunned. They all said, "This is funny. Let's book a cruise." I said, "Yep, you have to bring your own batteries, though." And here's another one, and I'm out of here. What time are we on time here? Oh, boy, 16 minutes. I wanted this to be a short Saturday edition. JetBlue announced they will increase their service from JFK to London, but London Heathrow, and they'll reduce their service between JFK and Gatwick. I personally prefer Gatwick over Heathrow. I think anybody with a brain does, but for whatever reason, that's not my problem with this. Now, my problem is that JetBlue is now flying transatlantic with single-row airline planes. It's an A321 long-range. It's a small jet going across the pond. If you're flying across the pond, get a wide body. You're on an A330, an A350, you're on a 777. You know, I see sometimes they're trying to fly 757s across the pond. Yeah, sure, if you're in the front of the plane, that's all right. But if you're in the back of the plane, and even JetBlue tries to tell in their propaganda, it says, they admit it's a single aisle aircraft. You don't want, you're going transatlantic, you don't want single. They call it a more intimate approach to transatlantic flying. No, it's a tomato can. The hell's the matter with people? And expensive, I looked it up. They have something called the Mint Suite. Mint, because it costs a mint, right? It is $3,300. It's $6,600 round trip to fly JFK to Heathrow and back. In the front of an A321 plane. Yeah, they have a nice suite in the front, but it's still a single aisle plane. If you're flying across the pond, kids, you get a wide body. The bigger, the better, you know? I love it when they had 4 engines. I'm not a big guy about 2 engines, but all right. I hope this was fun. I had a good time doing it, and now I'm going to take a nap because, you know, my main job is to spend time with guests here in Oceana, and I'm pretty darn good at it. All right, you know what? Tomorrow's Sunday. There's no Sunday edition. Relax. At this, maybe, I'll tell you the truth, I'm greedy. If we start to get a lot of sponsorships and having a Sunday edition means more downloads and more money, I'm there. Otherwise, I'll be by the pool. Have a great Saturday. Thanks to everybody for listening and sharing and sending me notes. And to my buddy Steve, because Steve knew a guy. There you go.